Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 554, Science Faction, small dicks and big appendixes.
Man, this is like regular rap video. You know, rap videos praising small dicks and huge, sexy, thick, I believe is the word, appendixes.
Yeah, well, sometimes they even want to doll it up more, and they get the spinners for the side of the appendix, which is expensive, and some would say lowers the resale value of the appendix, but, you know, you like what you like.
I don't mind saying it. This is a horny podcast.
True.
I dare you. In fact, listeners out there, open challenge. I will Venmo you $20 to anybody who can find a science podcast, I don't care if it's comedy or not, that's hornier than ours. I would argue that, like, if Dr. Kinsey had a podcast, we'd still be the hornier podcast.
Yeah, Dr. Kinsey asked us to tone it down a little bit and be more ethical in our research.
Yeah, next time I channel him, because he has been on the show, he actually talked to me off mic, like, hey guys, maybe you focus too much on sex. And I say that as somebody who banged every grad student I had.
Well, not the ugly ones. You know what I was thinking? We covered Kinsey banging grad students and stuff. I was always thinking, what if you were like the one grad student he did try and bang in his attic on tape? Wouldn't you be like, hey, man, what's up? Like, you were, I think it was like straight and gay sex and like all this. I think it was just like anything that moved and was trying to get a PhD got Kinsey's dick inside of them. Like, if you were the one and you were just a regular looking chick, would you be like, hey, that hurts?
Well, you know, we need somebody to work the camera. You have the most important job of all. But stay behind the camera. Do not work your way in as I'm distracted on this young, supple grad student's genitals.
Oh, and speaking of the grad student Kinsey never banged, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, is my comedian, Mr. Damian Mercado. Damian, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great. I look forward, because for years now, you have actually showed up at the grave of Dr. Kinsey, and you'll like lap dance on it. You'll like twerk on his tombstone. Like, you're gonna, am I good enough now? Please bang me.
Yeah.
Can I get a ghost finger?
Anybody who's seen that very controversial Lil Nas X video about him giving Satan a lap dance, it was a lot like that, only much more explicit.
Dude, I don't really, I'm not familiar with the gentleman's music. I just know that he came out with a country album, and then he came out as gay.
Yes.
And then he came out as Satan. And I am for the last two things that have happened.
He didn't come out as Satan. I mean, I don't think.
In the music video, I believe he's giving a lap dance to Satan.
Yeah, he gives a lap dance and then he kills Satan. He like uses the lap dance to seductively get behind Satan to break his neck.
Thereby usurping his throne, becoming Satan.
Yeah.
Do I need to tell you? He Highlandered Satan.
Put his crown on. I mean, someone could argue this is the most Christian thing ever, is murdering Satan. Is like, they should be applauding his actions.
Good. I want a Satan in there I can trust. A little Nas has a history that I know nothing about, so I'll take the devil I don't know.
And if you guys want to hear our other episode we put out every single week, you're going to have to join our Patreon. You can search Robert Timothy on Patreon, where you can get our weekly I Call BS episodes, which are like this, but with gayer and more explicit little Nas talk.
Yeah, I reenacted on video. Bobby plays a Satan who's trying very hard to hide that he's aroused. I took it as complimentary.
I don't hide anything.
I would be insulted if you weren't at least a little chubby while I was doing my dance, if you know what I mean.
Oh, dear. Let's get right on to science articles.
From molecules to particles, this is Science Articles.
All right, article number one, is pollution causing small dicks?
God, I hope not. I live close to an industrial part of downtown.
That's true.
So wait, hold on, question. Is it making already gargantuan dicks like the one I have small, or is it just affecting a new generation of gargantuan dicks? They never get to reach their full potential. Gargantuosity.
Well, first of all, Damien, I think you've misunderstood, because we're talking about actual living dicks, not dicks of gargantuan extinct species that you have collected through a weird league of extraordinary gentlemen you've been running.
I'm putting together a team, Bobby, and we could, you know, honestly, we could use an archaeologist. I'm going to come out and say it.
These are truly extraordinary gentlemen.
I got a submarine captain, a couple MMA fighters. I think we could use an academic.
Oh, dear. So this big hubbub, you might see it. This is actually kind of like the most popular science news story, so to speak, of the week. It's everywhere. It's on the headlines of every single major website. By the way, still nobody is talking about the article we covered last week in which 80 grams of a specific seaweed put into a cow's diet would essentially eliminate most of their methane production, i.e. most artificial methane production, i.e. help freeze global warming in its tracks with essentially a free intervention. Nobody's talking about that, but everybody is talking about the possibility of penises getting smaller because of quote-unquote pollution.
It's just easier to work the pollution story into an open mic joke than the methane gas one, if we're being honest.
I mean, you're not thinking deep enough about farts, Damien.
No, because like there's also like a 10-minute lead into the joke where you have to explain to the audience like, oh no, that's actually their burps, not their farts. Also, they just don't prefer seaweed.
Oh dear. So anyway, this whole hubbub centers around a book that just came out by a woman named Shauna Swan, and her book is titled Countdown, which is a great name. It talks about the use of phthalates in plastics and a lot of materials we use in modern day life and how those phthalates might be causing human penises to shrink and sperm counts to shrink along with them.
Hi, it is I, Count Downs. I had to stop myself from doing a very offensive voice before this.
Good. Good, Count.
I have nothing else to say now. Goodbye.
So phthalates, again, they're these chemicals that are used in plastic manufacturing. They're used in actually a whole bunch of different manufacturing processes for things that we use in modern day life. And they have been shown in mouse models to shrink penis size. They've been shown in correlational studies with humans to shrink maybe certain measures that we would later associate with penis size. They've also been shown to possibly lower sperm count. The clickbait title is Pollution Causes Penis to size to shrink in human males. In reality, what they're not talking about pollution, because pollution would be like we're throwing things away or we're polluting rivers and stuff. This is more of use of everyday products. So the name is already a little bit misleading. But the question is, does it actually cause this, or is this just kind of, let's just call it sensationalism?
You know, maybe this isn't such a bad thing, Bobby. I've been thinking about it. You know, I mean, like, there are a lot of women who were born with large breasts, and they get a, because it's bad for their back and their health, they get a breast reduction surgery.
Which, when I am in power, will be outlawed.
Bobby, you love women, but you love their breasts even more. So, yeah, I'm kind of a misogynist on that. That's the hill I'm going to die on.
I am, like a stringent Catholic anti-abortionist, but when it comes to breast reductions, like, I will be protesting outside of certain plastic surgery clinics.
Like, you'll see like some lady with a large cup size coming up and you're like shoving pictures of penises in her face, like, what is this? You're off message. What is this?
Or just pictures of other very busty topless women, like, don't take this away from the world.
As she's in a back brace, like, I have scoliosis because of this, you piece of shit.
We all have our burdens to bear, ma'am. It doesn't mean that you can just abandon your responsibilities to the rest of mankind.
You sound like a Mexican mother talking her daughter out of an abortion. Like, hey, it's a happy accident. There are no such things as accidents. You know, this is God wants you to have triple T's.
Yeah, I'm exactly a more ethical version of that woman.
By the way, a similar speech was given to my sister when she got pregnant with twins at like 21. You know, like, a lot of, you can kind of tell the difference between different families. Like, well, we're getting this taken care of, or we're going to drive you. Well, then I guess we're going to send you away to a convent for 9 months. Versus, you're Mexican, have it. I want to be a grandma, and that means more to me than anything.
So we have to first look at where these phthalates are used. They're used primarily in plastics and glues. We talk about certain versions like BPAs and BPBs that are used in certain types of hard plastic or plastic water bottles. A big concern has always been whether or not you leave those like plastic water bottles out in the sun and then drink the water out of them, because the idea is, especially under heat, a lot of those phthalates leak into the water and then you would be ingesting them into your body. But The fact of the matter is they're in a lot more applications than just that. So not only are they in adhesives, glues, plastics, they're in agricultural chemicals, building materials, personal care products, medical devices, so good luck getting away from that, detergents, packaging, children's toys, modeling clay, waxes, paints, printing inks, and coatings. They're also in pharmaceuticals, food products, and textiles. They're often used in things like soft plastic fishing lures, caulk, paint pigments, and sex toys made of so-called jelly rubber.
As somebody who sniffs glue, I missed everything you said after glue. But this stuff is in glue?
You missed the part about sex toys made of jelly rubber?
I'm sorry, I'm being impaled on the other end by a butt plug, so that's also taken my attention as well. Okay, so you mentioned glue, but I understand, is that you're just correlating that it's environmental, it's all around us? Or are you really trying to shame the glue-sniffing community? Because it's this fucking illness, Bobby. It's nature's candy.
If you're sniffing glue, there are other things you have to worry about than phthalates. That should be farther down on your list.
Oh, okay. Then any concern I had about this article is now gone.
Yeah, I think if that's what the case, like phthalates is like number 5 on your list. Number 4 is like not falling and hitting your head. Number 3 is not losing like the brain cells from the actual glue sniffing itself. Number 2 is wondering what's going on with your life that led you to this place. And number 1, like everybody else should be, making sure women don't get breast reductions.
You had me at the end because I was like, okay, check, check. I've done all these today. And then the last one hit.
They are also in shower curtains, vinyl upholstery, adhesives, floor tiles, food wrap film, and cleaning materials, but also in personal care items like perfume, eyeshadow.
You said sex toys. We get it.
Moisturizer, nail polish, liquid soap, and hairspray. I'll come back to that one. However, what people tend not to realize is, because it's all those chemicals, things like new car smell has a lot of phthalates and stuff in it. But one of the biggest elements that cause phthalate, at least ingestion into people, is actually when it's in foods, specifically fatty foods such as milk, butter, and meats, which are a major source of phthalates in human beings.
Okay, but I mean, again, as somebody born with giant cock syndrome, this might be a net benefit. My back is going to probably help my knees.
Uh-huh.
Probably easier on my knees. And not only that, but I have an impressive scrotum and I kind of want attention drawn to that. You know, like I feel like people have been focusing on the steak and not the potatoes.
For those of you guys who don't know, giant cock syndrome is where you can't get enough giant cock. Like you're just like horses, rhinos, everything.
Guilty.
Oh, and by the way, Damien, just to clarify, when she's talking about causing penis size to shrink, she's not saying that, like, you, as a grown man, is going to be exposed to phthalates and then get a smaller penis, like your penis is going to shrink. What they're saying is...
My poor back.
Women who are pregnant with male babies are giving birth to babies, male babies with smaller and smaller penises based on their in-utero phthalate exposure.
You know, I don't have any kids, so I guess I don't need to worry about, like, some sort of Oedipal complex, my son killing me.
Yeah.
But I'd like to know that if I had a son out there, I'd have the bigger hog. So I'm actually not...
You know what? Let's play real quick. Let's play lawyer for the phthalate company. Like, the tobacco attorney. We're both going to switch hit. We're co-counsels, and we work for the phthalate company. We are in court. They've just proven that phthalates cause lower penis size in males when they're born to women who are exposed in utero. And we, much like the tobacco company who said, like, oh, maybe women would like having smaller babies, giving birth to smaller babies, we have to think of outrageous defenses. All right, I'll go first.
Okay.
I would like to know why the prosecutor and everybody else on that side of the bench is so concerned with the penises of young boys.
And I'm going to take over there, because as you're getting heated, I will put my hand on your shoulder. Have a seat. Gentlemen, all of us here with all of us here. And I'm going to assume in this that the judge, even your honor, you're in your 50s. What if I told you that we could prevent a generation of pool boys from seducing our third wives? And all we have to do is just deliver a favorable outcome. Right now, we're sitting on the top of Large Penis Mountain. We can pull up the stairs right behind us so that nobody else can reach the summit. But that all depends.
Now, while the plaintiff might be so concerned with the tiny penises of little boys, I'll tell you what I'm concerned about. Mother Earth. And Mother Earth is dying from something we call climate change. And you know what a big contributor to climate change is? Unusually large condoms constantly having to be produced for giant hogs like those of myself and my fellow attorney here.
Just nods.
But you know what we can do for future generations is create a world in which condom production can be cut in half while still allowing for safe sex among all. And the way we do that, gentlemen, shrink those hogs.
I'm now going to be the plaintiff. I'm going to switch gears, switch characters.
Excuse me, Your Honor. What the defendant's lawyers at counsel is neglecting to mention is that all of these large penises are, in fact, a carbon sink. Large penises.
That's oddly true. Technically speaking.
A couple inches here and there mean nothing, but in mass across the population, we're talking tons of carbon that could be sequestered in penises.
Now, the plaintiff is right there, but I would like to also point out that for every penis, you need a fleshlight. And the smaller we can make those fleshlights, the smaller we can make our carbon footprint. So once again, for Mother Earth's sake, please give these babies some plastic in their diet.
Okay, out of character, I'm feeling fleshlight shamed. Bobby, is it awesome? Do I need to get a fleshlight? Do I need to hit Amazon right now?
How do you live your life?
All right, well, this is going to be a fight with the wife worth having. Let's do it.
Are you going to hit her with a fleshlight?
No, she's going to keep trying to use my fleshlight. Like, what are you... Why are you scissoring my fleshlight?
The age-old question. Oh, dear. So the question becomes, is this like a real concern or is this like anti-vax territory? And the answer is somewhere in between. There is some real scientific backing to this. There's evidence in mouse studies and there's correlational studies in human males when it comes to boys born to women who are exposed in utero to phthalates. However, once again, it's not like your dick is going to shrink. This is for the next generation.
Whew.
The first reason that this is, you know, somewhat BS is, as I already pointed out, this is not an issue of pollution. This is an issue of environmental contamination of things that we use all around us. And there are always other possible explanations, like correlational explanations for some of the data that we're seeing. Again, correlational, not causational. You're not going to get a lot of approval from IRBs to do these studies on in utero women, just injecting them with plastics and stuff. So these are going to be correlational for a long time. So how seriously should we take this? We should take it seriously, but we shouldn't go crazy. I mean, yeah, I don't particularly like the idea of drinking water if it's been sitting in a water bottle outside, like in the sun for a long period of time. Frankly, I don't like drinking bottled water anyway. I think it's a fucking crazy luxury. Like, to me, there is a tap. I live in a first world nation. I can put my glass underneath it and get water, and that is fine. So the idea of like bottled water on and of itself seems like fabulously luxurious to me. But the idea of then just taking that bottled water and leaving it in your car or leaving it in the sunlight for a long time and then trying to drink it seems stupid to me. Like, and seems like it would taste bad, and like there's no reason to do that.
I'm with you. I do not like bottled water, but it's for a different reason, basically, because I grew up like with water being free. And then one day, like they all of a sudden charge the same amount of water as you would for a Coke. And yeah. I'm like, what? Who is valuing this? Yeah. The profit margin is fucking insane on this.
I've literally been walking like around and like been thirsty. And I've been in places that I didn't live, like just walking through a neighborhood. I just gone up to some random person's hose that's close enough to the street. I'll just drink out of that. It's fine. Like, nobody's going to see me. They're not going to notice the, I don't know what it is, like 0.01 cents a gallon or something that we pay for water when it comes out of the tap. Screw it. I'll drink it out of that hose.
That's why we have castle doctrine in this country. So I could shoot anybody who comes onto my property to steal my water.
True story, that same defense attorney that was talking earlier about the phthalates, I actually had him file a motion to get castle doctrine to apply to women's natural breasts. That kept doctors from getting breast reductions.
It's a living. I love tits as well. It doesn't sound like it from my voice, but huge titty guy.
One of the reasons we shouldn't go crazy about this is because phthalate exposure isn't necessarily shown to have gone up recently. In fact, there's been a lot of phthalate bans within the past 10 years. You've probably heard about
BPAs. But that just makes kids want them more.
Yeah, you've probably heard of things like BPA-free and stuff. We've actually done a decent job kicking phthalates out of our system in the past 10 years. So if this was the case, we'd be expecting this to be going down, not up. And phthalate exposure doesn't, like we said, comes a lot from foods and stuff. So think of the plastic jug that holds your milk. You're getting phthalates from that. Think of the plastic wrapping that's on like raw meat you buy at the grocery store. There's phthalates leaking into that. So if the case was that phthalates were this major problem, we would be expecting that to go down, not up. And especially because a huge problem is like inhalation. If you're not eating it, it's usually inhalation. So not just, you know, something you have around you.
Stop buying new cars.
Well, new cars would be one, but not only new cars. If we're going to talk about like phthalate inhalation, that has absolutely had to gone down from its peak in terms of like pregnant women. Its peak had to be in 1980s hair culture. Like, there's no way anybody is getting more phthalates than the hairspray that was going on at that point in time.
That's right. You said you were going to come back to hairspray. Now, I always assumed that the fact that, let's just say that the horoscope community and the hairdresser community were a Venn diagram that was a circle.
Okay.
I always assumed that was just something they were born with. But what you're implying is that maybe it's the inhalation of hairspray.
No, I don't think it's causing them to be dumb. I think it is more correlational. I think the dumber you are, the more likely you are to shoot a ton of hairspray on, then vice versa. And let me bring up this controversial opinion, similar to the defense attorneys we talked about earlier. We might be a better off society if males had less testosterone and i.e. smaller penises. Like, that might actually be a better thing. There is evidence to suggest...
One of those things where the cure, is it worse than the disease, though? I mean,
I don't know. Well, I mean, there's a lot of evidence to suggest in our like evolutionary history that human beings are a species that essentially self-domesticated, meaning that we kind of went through a similar domestication process that wolves did to beat a dogs, which includes lower testosterone, which means to lower aggressiveness, more social interaction. That also means you're weaker and that we don't have the same muscle tone and the same physical abilities and stuff like that.
Yeah, look at those lats.
There's an idea that, you know, humans essentially have decreased their testosterone over time, and that allows us to kind of be in big groups without killing each other all the time. And maybe even less testosterone would be better. I mean, I would wager to say...
Completely agree.
Yeah, aside from like a few things, like we need some strong firefighters and shit like that. Like, aside from a few things, in general, less testosterone would probably be better for everything. We'd have less unintended pregnancies. We'd have less violence, less sexual assault. Like, there's a lot of things that we could do. We'd get along better. There's a lot of things we would do. Like, we would lose out on like good NFL defensive backs and like a few other things. But for the most part, we'd be a better society.
Yeah, and when you think of like how much damage... not only like those individuals are much more like, not just physically, but I mean, just that type of like, I'm tough. I don't care. I do what I want. Fuck your feelings.
Yeah.
That's just not a good way to go through life. And
yeah,
I'm all down. Like, if there was just something they did that just turned down the testosterone.
Yes.
I think we'd have a better society. You know, we'd have fewer truck rants and stuff like that. But I mean,
and like, just think of all of the saved time we would have in terms of like porn usage. If you could dial down testosterone like 10%, I feel like there would be like 50% less jerking off involved, and we could all just kind of like be more productive.
Bobby, I don't masturbate because I have nothing better to do. It's not like, oh, I'm bored. Let us spend time. Let these idle hands spend time.
That's
at my
what
genitals.
I mean. Yeah, no, you're doing it because you got testosterone that's telling you to do it. So you're like, oh, I got to do this even though I have other stuff to do.
Listen, Bobby, I've taken steroids due to asthma issues, and I've been on steroid withdrawal when I had low testosterone. Bobby, yeah. I will book time to masturbate. I will I will pencil it in, you know, because you got to love what you do, and you got to make time for the things you love. I don't even do this for my wife.
I hope you never have a secretary. Just
yeah, my wife's like, come to bed. Please have sex with me. Please, this isn't about you.
All right, on article number two, do we need an appendix?
I'm sorry, I was thinking about that secretary thing. I'm going to say...
I just imagine you being like, you didn't schedule my jerking off periods.
Yeah, we have appendix. They are absolutely necessary. Else, how else would we catch like one kernel of corn in a fucking disaster pit trap of a stomach and need life-saving surgery all throughout history? Like, if we didn't have that controlling for humanity...
Oh, so we're going to get to that. That's very interesting. So most of you people have probably heard of the appendix as something that is about to burst and kill you in every sitcom in which somebody has a stomachache. By the way, that's another thing that was greatly lied to us about the 80s. Not only the safety of hairspray usage. I feel like every other show we watched, if somebody had a stomachache, it was because their appendix was about to burst and they were 10 minutes from dying. And it led me to think that any time I had a pain in my side, I was 10 minutes away from what I imagined, by the way, was a explosion that would happen because I heard appendix bursting in my body at any given time.
I'm with you here. Honestly, growing up, I thought, like, I'm just going to meet people who had appendectomies left and right. It's just such a common thing. Why would the human body put this booby trap inside of you
that
could just fucking kill you? But, like, now that I'm adult and I'm thinking about it, like, have I ever seen an appendectomy scar?
Also in the 80s, and according to sitcoms, like every third time you went to the grocery store, somebody was going to reach to their side and fall down, and like an EMT was going to rush in with a knife and cut them open because they were having appendicitis.
Well, that or they would do the trach tube. We got to stab a hole in his throat.
Yes. That's way more dangerous than you would think based on what we saw on TV.
I think she just rolled her ankle, dude.
Yeah. So, what an appendix is this little dangling appendage off the cecum, which is the beginning of the large intestine. And by the way, if you guys want to read up on this yourself, there's a great Live Science article on this that I took a lot of this information from. So, this particular appendage or this organ has often thought to be vestigial and no longer needed. But that started being shown to be false a little bit about 10 to 15 years ago. And at the point I was aware of that, I started seeing articles about how it had a function and stuff, and I knew it had some modern function, but I always assumed we'd still be better off without the risk. Like I had heard, oh, it's a good place for gut bacteria. And so, okay, well, that's great. You know, a little store of gut bacteria, but seemingly still better to not have what it seems, again, from TV in the 1980s to tell me is like a 1 in 2 chance of dying from it at any given moment.
It wasn't just that. Madeline played a part too. Now, did she have her tonsils removed or appendix? I couldn't remember. But either way, we were wrong about the tonsils too. And we owed them an apology. Off topic.
Yeah, I think the difference is like when you get your tonsils removed, you get ice cream. And then I guess if you get your appendix removed, you get like an ice cream enema because it's by the intestine. So I don't know.
I was thinking maybe the bully, your school bully doesn't punch you in the stomach for a week. Like, hey, it's bully code. I'll just work the face.
And we've now found that it must serve some purpose because it evolved independently at least 32 times in different mammal lineages with different mammals that have a wide variety of food. So it's not just for plant eaters, which was one of the original thoughts. Oh, we need this because when we digested plants, it seems to have a functional use enough that we see it in convergent evolution at least 32 different times in mammal lines. And so this paper starts to ask questions like what would happen if modern society did not have an appendix? And the author answers, well, we would probably survive because we still have antibiotics and stuff, but we would have to adopt a lot more fecal transplants because we would have a lot more of wiping out gut bacteria without the appendix serving as I talked about, basically a reservoir for gut bacteria that keeps some gut bacteria there safe so that if they get wiped out in your stomach, they can still repopulate your stomach and intestines through the appendix.
So antibiotics, like that's like a no-go zone, it's a no-fly zone for the appendix?
Not at all, but think about how you take antibiotics. Most of the time you take them orally, right? Antibiotics is the name of that dude at the gym.
That's his rap name, Bobby. That's his rap name.
Most of the time you're taking pills, and that one of the first places of exposure to antibiotics is often the stomach, especially if you're taking pills, whereas the appendix, it's much harder to get to. As somebody who had like a recurrent prostate infection caused by my horrible medical issues last summer, it takes a while to get enough antibiotics in your system for them to like permeate your prostate all the way or your bladder or those places, but they'll wipe out shit in your stomach right away because that's where the antibiotics are. If they're not intravenous, that's where they are. And so even after you wipe those out in your stomach, a little store can hang out in your appendix for quite some time. So that would be the consequences in modern society. We'd probably need some more fecal transplants. What about hunter-gatherer society? Well, the author states that you'd see a lot more people dying of infectious diseases that they otherwise would have survived, having to do with not only gut bacteria, but infections and the ability to process food. And in early agricultural societies, also more people would die. Because when people start living in more crowded areas, they have poorer sanitation and disease would spread more easily because, again, you wouldn't have that reliant gut bacteria around all the time. So interestingly, it does seem like having an appendix is in general good for us in all of these different scenarios. So you might wonder, as I've often wondered, again, according to my research done in the 80s on CBS, at least 50% of people get appendicitis and almost die at any given time.
You could just like Cheers, Bobby. It doesn't have to be research. You could just like it. It's a good show.
So then what did ancient cultures do? Like, weren't people just dropping dead nonstop? Well,
from not being able to watch Cheers, probably.
Well, it turns out that appendicitis might actually be caused by cultural shifts linked with industrialized society and improved sanitation, meaning it wasn't as likely to happen back then. We've talked about this for things like polio. You know, polio we eradicated with the vaccine, but polio didn't become a problem, an endemic problem, until we figured out sanitation, because then it kept kids at a very young age from being exposed to polio. And when they're exposed at a very, very young age, i.e. like baby age, they develop a sickness but get over it and they don't get paralyzed or die from it. It's only when they get it later at like 5, 6, 7, 8 or older that it becomes a fatal condition or a paralyzing condition. And so sanitation actually made polio an epidemic. Similarly, the idea is that sanitation made appendicitis an epidemic.
I guess that was my question. Just as each, you know, certain cultures and civilizations due to the conditions in which they came up have superpowers. And I was wondering, because you were saying the reason that, you know, whereas hunter-gatherers were selected for intelligence, a lot of the people who grew up in civilization, like in Europe and everything, were selected for dirtiness, for how fucking dirty they were. I guess my question is...
For immune system to survive pandemics, basically.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, I guess like if I go to England, am I going to see, are they just known for some thick, girthy ass appendixes? Like they have reservoirs for bacteria thanks to their ancestors' hatred for bathing and love for defecating in water sources. Know what I'm talking about?
Hell yeah. And by the way, we do see different levels of certain diseases and problems in people who have had their appendix removed. So even in the modern day, those who lack appendixes can sometimes end up having higher instances of A, issues with gut bacteria, but B, infections and digestive issues. And so it even does affect people to this very day. So I guess what we should say is thanks appendix.
Wow, Mitch McConnell has two enemies, Obama, and, well, not just two. He has two big enemies right now, and that's appendixes and Obama.
So very, very interesting stuff. It was just something that I've always been interested in. I've always been interested in the appendix. It always seemed to me that like at any given moment, somebody would have to like slice you open with a broken glass bottle they had, reach in there, pull it, and then just, by the way, throw the appendix in another room because that thing is going to blow.
Yeah, appendixes in quicksand, I thought would be bigger in adult life than they actually turned out to be.
Yes. Also situations where I had to replace a dead pet with another similar looking dead pet.
Yeah. I mean, while we're there, evil twins. Like,
Yeah, or, that's true.
Or cool twins brought to you by science, or in a la Stefan or Kel. By the way, kudos to him. A lot of shows did the evil twin. They did the cool twin.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Thank you, audience, for coming back to Science Faction 554, where you learned all about whether or not pollution is causing small dicks and whether or not we need an appendix. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 555.
That's right. Come to England, where we are no longer just known for our boiled meats. We are also known for our thick, robust appendixes.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.